Perseverance. So if you've got a Bible, you won't need it because I've got the verses up here. But so I'm going to talk about the wilderness temptation of Jesus and his perseverance. So first, has any of you, it's just a bit too high, have any of you ever given something up for Lent? Put your hands up if you have. Quite a lot of you. How many of you have succeeded? Put your hands up.
Halfway through.
Ooh, okay. How many of you have ever failed giving something up for Lent? And how many of you are giving something up right now? Do we give up chocolate? Coffee? I gave that up once while I was sleeping. And then I was, that's enough. TV? Give up smoking? Give up computer games? People give up drinking. You know, and you need, if you give up chocolate, I know that you need a lot of perseverance because Mark spoke about it for like every day last year about how hard it is giving up chocolate and how tempting it was to steal chocolate for the little ones. So yeah, you need perseverance to get through the 40 days and 40 nights without chocolates. But what Jesus gave up during 40 days and 40 nights was much more than a chocolate bar every now and then. Now, he fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. And that takes a lot. So, will my video play? Hopefully.
Come and see the temptation of Jesus. This is Jesus.
Hey-o!
Who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Jesus was born in Bethlehem and grew up in Nazareth, where he grew in wisdom and favor with God and man.
Oh, I see.
Jesus was baptized by John, and God showed John that Jesus was his chosen one. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness among the wild animals.
Oh, hey there, friend.
For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus didn't eat anything. So he was hungry. Satan came to him and said,
"Hey,
if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus knew God's word, and so he answered, "No. The word of God says people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And so Jesus passed the first test. Then Satan took him to Jerusalem and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off.
Aww.
For the word of God says he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone."
Wait.
But Jesus said, "The word of God also says, you must not test the Lord your God."
Now.
And so Jesus passed the second test. So Satan took him to the peak of a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. Satan said, "I will give it all to you if you kneel down and worship me." But Jesus said, "Get out of here, Satan, for the word of God says you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then Satan went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. And so Jesus passed the third and last test.
Hey, right, was you all taking notes? Because now I'm going to ask you about it. So you better have been taking notes. Now, have any of you ever been hungry? Yeah. How hungry were you on the scale of you could have one little Haribo or you need to eat an elephant? You've been hungry? Have you been that hungry? Halfway, somewhere in the middle. An honest answer, I like that. I could never eat an elephant. Do you know? And when you're hungry, do you get a little bit upset? Are you a bit short-tempered when you're hungry? When Lydia gets hungry, she doesn't get hungry. She gets what we call hangry. She's very hungry and she's very hangry. So I need to keep emergency chocolates and crisps in the car, because no one wants to be in the car with a hangry woman. It's just fact, isn't it? If I'm wrong and you would like to be, that's fine. I mean, braver man than me. So emergency snacks are needed. I say this because when we're hungry, we're weak. We're very weak when we're hungry. We get stressed easily. Do you know, it's easy for your mind to focus on wanting food. It's easy for your mind not to focus on God, because you're focusing on wanting to eat. You know, which is the whole reason that Jesus fasted. He fasted so that he could focus on God. Not so he can focus on being hungry, to focus on God. Kind of put that maybe to the test, if you will. You know, it's really hard. But Jesus was able to do it. But while Jesus was in the desert, in the wilderness, and he was hungry, who came to see him? This is it. Oh, I'm going to sit down if you're not going to get Satan. There we go. And what's the first thing that Satan does? Anybody? With what? With bread. With rocks to bread. Basically, he tempts him with food. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones and they'll be made bread. He tries to get Jesus to eat. To make bread and have a little sandwich. Now, I don't know about you. If I'm hungry and someone says, oh, there's bread in the sandwich, go and have a cheese toasty. I'm going to the fridge and I'm going to go and get a cheese toasty. You know, I'm going to make myself something to eat. And this is what, basically, Satan was telling to him. But what did Jesus do? He persevered, didn't he? Huh? He said, nah, you know, he said no. He didn't give up. He pushed through that temptation to eat. And he said this. Jesus answered, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He turns to putting God first. Jesus looks at the stones. He probably thinks in his head, oh, you know, that's a sandwich. Happy days. But actually what he does, he says, no, I'm going to refocus on God. I do not live on bread alone. Do you know, but from the word that comes from the mouth of God. And then what happens? What happens next? Anybody? He gets tempted again. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. So Satan knows Jesus isn't going to have a sandwich. He's not going to have a packet of crisps. He's not going to eat a herd of elephants. That's not going to work. So Satan says, let's try something different. Maybe I can tempt him. Maybe I can tempt him to give up on this fast. Maybe I can tempt him to turn to me. He tries another tactic. He tried to get Jesus to test God. But what does Jesus do to this? What does Jesus do to this? Do you know? Just watch the video. I'll give you the answer. What does he say? It's on the screen now if you want to shout it out. Go on. That's it. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Pretty strong. You know, it's being tempted. No, do not put your Lord your God to the test. He just answered him. So he didn't give in once again. Again, he perseveres. He pushes through. Now, at this point, the devil is probably thinking, this kid's pretty tough. You know, this is some Vin Diesel, Jean-Claude Van Damme guy. You know, I'm not knocking this kid down. I'm not beating him. You know, but the fact is, it was what Jesus was persevering in his fasting and persevering in God that pushed him through. It was refocusing on God. He had to refocus on God and say, no, don't put the Lord your God to your test. And then what happened? What happened next? What was the last one? Go on. Said, I can offer you the world. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Now, I don't know about you. If somebody come up to me, said every day, say that I'm great, kneel before me and say you're great, and I will give you endless supplies of money, I will give you everything. You just got to do that once a day. I may be tempted to do that. It's a pretty good deal, isn't it? You don't have to work for your whole life. All you've got to do is do this. Yeah, you're great. And you've got everything. I mean, that's less kissing up than I do every day at work. So it would make sense, doesn't it? Do you know, what does Jesus do in this instance? He's offered everything. He says no. Says, that's what he says. I'll do the proper dance in a minute. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You know, he does the exact opposite because he knew he's got a better thing going with God. He tells Satan, and he refocuses once again on God. He perseveres through. He pushes through. He's offered the world on the plate there and then. But he focuses on God, you know, and what is to come as well as what he has. So all the way through this, Jesus is tempted in many different ways. Jesus has got to persevere through it. You know, and he didn't give up. He didn't make up any excuses. He didn't say, oh, maybe I'll do that. You know, he saw it through to the end and persevere. Which is all great. Jesus persevered through. Brilliant. That happened. We know that. That's fine. But how does that affect us today? How can we take that into kind of our lives today? You know, we have so many things that we've got to persevere through. We're probably all persevering through something right now. Do you know? What was that? Persevering through not eating Haribo. Even though I've given you bags, I've kind of tempted a little bit, didn't I? But it's fine. What, Haribo? 55 years temptation. Still persevering. There we go. Hallelujah. Do you know, we persevere through. But if you don't persevere through, what would happen? You kind of think, oh, I've got to get through this. But if you don't, what would happen? Do you know, it wouldn't be as good. You're laughing at me. Stop it. Okay. So think of a marathon runner. Oh, Danny boy. Our 2B marathon runner. If Danny wanted to do a marathon, he would train. Maybe. I don't know. I would suggest train, because otherwise it's going to really hurt. Do you know, he'd train. And when he got to that marathon, halfway through, this is going to go through his head. Danny, you're stupid doing this. This is really tough. Give up. It's normally, go. Oh, Danny, pub's that way. What's going on? If he stopped halfway through, that's fine. He would get instant relief. He'd be able to go home, have a cup of tea, put his feet up, live to fight another day. Okay, that's instant relief. But he doesn't get the prize that comes from completing the race. If he pushes through that, his legs are shouting, Danny, stop! No, don't do it to us! If he goes, come on, and he just ploddles along, and he gets to the finish line, he gets the medal for finishing. You know, all his perseverance is rewarded. He gets to hold his head up high, thinking, I could do that. I mean, it'd probably be higher from the floor, I lifted his head up. But he could say, I completed it. If you're not giving up. You know. And push through. kind of sounds silly, but we can all kind of relate to that in some kind of way. There's something in life. If you give up, you don't get to the end. You don't get the reward. Or if someone at school is being mean to you, or bullying you, or putting you down, or even at work or anything, do you know, what would you gain from being mean back to them? Someone pushed you at school. If I can't push to you now, I'm going to do it. I pushed you over. What would you gain from pushing me back?
Nothing.
Good man. He knows the answers. Give that man a round of applause. Come on. He would gain nothing. Probably at that minute, he'd probably think, yeah, I'm the big man. But then I'll start crying. And he is now the bully. What does he gain from that? Do you know, he's now the one in trouble. But if you're nice back and you push through it, people will notice. And at the end, you'll probably have more friends than that bully. Because you're the nice guy. You know, it says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. I saw another version which says, you will reap the reward if you do not give up. And there's something that can relate to anything in our lives. Push through. Do not give up and you will reap the reward. Now, you'll be the one that truly wins in that. Now, I want to tell you a quick story of perseverance. When I was a little younger, I lived in Eccles, in the outback. Eccleslovakia, we like to call it. Eccleslovakians causing trouble again. Do you know, my mum went to Birmingham, to Patel, to a rehab. And my dad was left with this unruly child. Luckily, look at him now, he's all wearing this. As me. No, it wasn't very good. I'm not going to go into that story because that's not relevant. But, you know, he was left with me. And he said he's been praying to God. And it's like, no, we've got, if I want my family to be back together and be united, I need to get to Birmingham. And I said, oh, no, you don't. You are not taking me away from here. I am king. All right, Dad persevered. He found a house. It wasn't a very nice house. It wasn't the best house in the world. It wasn't in the best area of the world. I mean, not there is a good area, Birmingham, but I mean, no, it wasn't the best area in the world. But Dad found that house and he knew this was a step. God had a plan. So he moved us up there. He dragged me up. He had to tie me to the roof and drive me. It wasn't quite that bad, but I didn't want to go. He knew that was right. Anyways, moved to Birmingham and I'm still a little bit like a, don't want to be here, scallywag, yeah. I'm still a scallywag, but I was a bit worse. But he moved us up there. And through that, got to know Christians, people in Battelle. You know, all this time, Dad's persevering. I'm fighting him. You know, he's persevering for my salvation, persevering for, you know, his family. Anyways, but I met people that told me about God and started becoming a Christian, going to church, kind of like, there's a little bit of something in there. All the meantime, Dad's like, Dad, God wants me here. And Dad got a map out and's like, I need to live there. That's where Charlie's school is, that's where Mum is, that's where this is, that's where the college is. I need to live there. And about a year later, Dad gets offered this house in what? We couldn't move into it straight away because it was a year old. And it had to be a year or something like that.
Yeah, it had only been 9 months.
9 months, so it had to be there for a year before we could move in. But he persevered through that. And in the end, Dad got, through his persevering and prayer in God, he got the house where he wanted it, new house, you know, so that the kids go to school, I can go to college, got part of a new church. If he hadn't persevered and fought me, which at the time I wouldn't have wanted to do, you know, I wouldn't be standing here now. These wouldn't be standing here now. You know, and what would it have been for? We would just be in Eccles fighting or be a broken family. And so, thanks for that, Dad. Saved my life. But, you know, that at the time, it was a little thing like I need to move to Birmingham that escalated to such great reward. And that can happen with all of us. You might have a little thing or something that you're like, you know, is it worth me fighting for this? Is it worth me fighting them for this? Is it worth me pushing for this? Is it worth me saying this? If it's worth me doing this, what is going to come of it? It's too tough. I can stay in bed. But it is worth it. come the end. You don't see the bigger picture. Do you know, we see this. We see this wall. This is what we see. But when you step back, you can see what's behind it. Do you know, sometimes you've got to step back, see what you're up against, and then plow through that wall and get through it. You know, it's, do not grow weary of doing good and you'll reap the rewards. So I just want to pray for us quick while the worship team come up. God, I thank you that we can come here and have fun. You know, I thank you for my life, for giving one man courage to fight through for me and give me the opportunity to be here today to talk to these people, Lord. And I pray for everyone here that have got a little thing that they need to persevere through. Everyone here that's got a massive thing that they need to persevere through. That you will help them see the bigger picture. That they will not lose hope. That they will not be discouraged, Lord Jesus. But they will fight through, Lord Jesus. And that you will pick them up when they get weak. That you will help them fight through for it, Lord Jesus. Let them refocus on God. You know, like Jesus did in the wilderness. To refocus on you, to be strong and to reap the rewards and have the angels come and tend to them afterwards, God. I pray that as we go through our week, as you'll be with us in these situations that tempt us, these situations that stop us from our end goal that we can push through and persevere through. And Lord, I just want to thank you for this word you put on my heart, Lord Jesus, you know, to share with these people here today. And I just thank you for all the young people in this church. You know, if there's 100 young people, brilliant. If there's one young person, brilliant. But if that one person meets you, that's all that's worth. It's worth it, Lord. So I just thank you for the opportunity to do that and the fun that we can have with you and that we can enjoy the rest of our day, God. Amen.